In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is the work of our lives as Catholic men and women to strive each and every single day to conform ourselves to the will of God. That conformity manifests itself in the manner in which we live our lives, following the Ten Commandments, being men and women of prayer, a life of obedience to the truths of Holy Mother Church, and to those who are lawfully over us, leading and guiding us. And so we strive, and sadly we fail. And maybe we experience the spiritual life as more failure than success. And over time, as years turn to decades, decades maybe turn to a half a century, we feel slightly overwhelmed by not having had the success in the spiritual life that we desire. The exhortations in the spiritual life against discouragement are real and true, because we can feel weighed down by the burden of conformity, knowing that it is difficult for us to do this in the best of circumstances, made even more difficult by original sin and now our propensity to sin. I think sometimes what intensifies the burden is a loss of an understanding of why we are doing what it is that we are doing. Of course, if we take a step back, yes, we know we do this because God is asking us to do this. But the deeper reality, as St. Paul reminds us, is the relationship into which we have been drawn and the gifts that have been given to us because of that relationship. We are co-heirs with Christ and share in the kingdom that he himself establishes upon the cross. Co-heirs to Christ, because we are his beloved brothers and sisters, and in that intimate union with Christ, we are drawn into relationship with the Father and become his beloved children. We must always keep uppermost in our minds, not as an excuse to not strive for good, but precisely to remember what motivates us to strive for that goodness, that we are loved by God. It seems to be such a simple thing to say, and of course, we do know and understand this, and we do believe this, and yet it oftentimes doesn't become the motivation for why it is I'm striving for holiness. I only focus on the things that I do or the things that I fail to do, instead of also at the same time focusing that I am doing these very things precisely because I'm in this relationship with love. And this becomes the most perfect way for me to show forth that love, by the manner in which I live my life. But if I fail, which oftentimes I do, and I find reconciliation with God through the mystery of the sacrament, that love that he has for me is not lost, is not withheld from me, not taken away from me. There is no punishment per se, except for the punishment that comes from sin. God never walks away from us, even as we might walk away from him. What this does, brothers and sisters, I believe, if we truly enter into this understanding, is it properly orients our minds and hearts and the actions that we perform. Instead of feeling overburdened by the spiritual life, we can feel the freedom that God wants to bestow upon us. This is, after all, why the Lord came into the world, to set us free from sin, the slavery that comes from sinfulness, that being bound by the things of this world, being overwhelmed by the things of the flesh, instead of truly being able to be caught up in the Spirit. Instead of finding ourselves weighed down, we can find ourselves truly lifted up. And in that being lifted up, find ourselves men and women of a true and abiding joy. Because happiness is a fleeting reality, something for which we should never actually look for, and something upon which we should never embark. I don't want to be happy. I want to be joy-filled. I don't want the happiness of the world. I want the joy that comes from Christ. Because what that will mean is that times my life will not always be easy. It won't be absent of difficulty. And there are times when I will simply not be happy, either because of the place in which I find myself, or the manner in which I'm comporting myself, or all the things that are swirling around me. But even in the midst of difficulty and sacrifice, in the midst of carrying my own crosses, I am able to find joy if my heart, my mind, my soul is attuned to God. I offer this to you, brothers and sisters, precisely because in recent weeks I have found myself both engaged in conversations, both personal and can be corporate, talking about the mental health of people in a variety of different ways, but especially between my brother priests, and most particularly among friends of mine, priests, friends of mine, men for whom I do spiritual direction. And oftentimes they speak about being weighed down and overburdened and heavy laden. And we talk about strategies of overcoming that feeling of fatigue or the bitterness that sometimes is engendered by the fatigue. And it isn't just enough to exhort them to the cross. Yes, we must suffer. But I think it also is a beautiful exhortation to pull back from why it is we suffer. We don't suffer for the sake of suffering, for there is no meaning or value in that. We suffer out of love because we ourselves have been loved. To talk about authentic love is always to talk about the cross, but not the cross as something shameful and embarrassing, something overwhelming and to be rejected, but the cross as that reality that does bring about new and everlasting life, and in giving us that new and everlasting life, giving us the joy that we need to endure in this world as we anticipate the glories of the next. As I preach to you, oftentimes I remind you, as I remind myself, that I stand before you not as a perfect practitioner of the things to which I exhort you. Quite the opposite is true. I fail more than I succeed. And I find myself, too, at times overwhelmed and heavy laden and burdened that leads to bitterness, that leads to frustration, that may lead to rancor. And all because I've forgotten one simple and yet profound reality. I am beloved of God, who loves me not only in my successes, but maybe more especially in my weaknesses and in my failures. Certainly, he doesn't want us to remain there, and we don't want to remain there. We know that it is always our desire, our want to be with God, to increase our intimate union with him. But even as we struggle, and maybe we struggle mightily to achieve this union, and at times in that struggle, we find ourselves failing more than succeeding. We can never, like the world, give in to the rejection and the depression that comes from failure, but instead rededicate ourselves to this relationship of love, knowing that even as I have failed to love God as I ought, God continues to love me as he so desires. It really, truly is a radical reorientation of how we approach the spiritual life. We can do lots of things for God, and those are things that hopefully are good. But all of those should be predicated on a heart that desires to be with God, not just to conform my outward actions, but my whole being, as our Blessed Mother proclaims, glorifying God. Everything about who I am and then what I do gives glory and praise to God and reflects the love that he has for me as I strive to give that love to others. I think, brothers and sisters, in truth, if we could all come to a better understanding of this authentic love made manifest on the cross, a love that brought about creation, redemption, and continues to sanctify us and make us holy, the world would be a less churlish and difficult place. We would be less inclined to engage each other in rancor and in bitterness and sometimes even in violence, in words, but maybe even in the flesh as well. I'm not naive enough to simply say if we all pick dandelions and run naked in the street, the world will be a perfect place. No, this is not the 60s. But I am convinced that if we love as God intends us to love, the world will then be rightly transformed and placed upon the trajectory that he's always intended for us. Love can conquer all because love has conquered all. The love that we make manifest is that love that has been given to us free, life-giving, generative, joy-filled, a love that also sacrifices, a love that seeks the good of the other more than it seeks us and our own good for ourselves. And the most beautiful thing that God has given us is what it is that we're doing at this precise moment, the celebration of the Holy Sacrifice, where we are able to receive the living God, who chooses to make his dwelling in us, and in that act of dwelling in us gives us the very strength we need to cooperate with grace and to rise above our weaknesses, and when we fail, not to remain in our failure, but instead to seek more grace poured out upon grace, to rise above and be with him. And so remember who you are and whose you are and what it is that God has bestowed upon you. We are sons and daughters of God. But if we are sons and daughters, and indeed we are also heirs. And if we are heirs indeed of God, we are also joint heirs with Christ. Through him and with him and in him, he draws us into unity with the Blessed Trinity. And it is there, brothers and sisters, that we find our lasting peace and our abiding joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.